Okay, Bob told me to go an hour, but I'll tell you what, if you can't stop thinking about your raffle deal or where you got to go, again, just like go, hey, I'm done. Good morning. It's nice to see you all, and I've just had such a good time this weekend. I'm Rhonda, I'm a compulsive overeater. And I feel like our energy's a little bit all over the place. I know mine is. Here I go with the jewelry again. Gotta take it off for some reason. I shouldn't put it on because I can't obviously wear it when I talk. So let's just take a minute. And if you're still eating, if you're still doing whatever you're doing, it's totally fine. Just take a minute. Let's take a breath with me. Let's take a big, deep breath in. And let it go. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, so I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, and then we might do some little questions, if you have any questions, and I would want you to come up here, if you don't mind, to ask that question, like if something's something that I've said, or something that's come up for you the weekend, how do I do this when I get back home, you know, and I may have the answer, somebody else may have the answer, because I'm really not, I may not have the answer at all, but somebody else might have the answer, right? So I just want to collectively, as a full body, as one entity, that we feel cohesive, if that makes any sense to you. That's so important to me that we feel, because especially as we go home, like it's really important that you take me with you. Right? It's really important I take you with me. That's what I mean by cohesive. Like we're, you know, I was, and if anybody's listening on a tape, I apologize. Just imagine that I'm intertwining my fingers and holding them up like this. Because see, my program has worked like this, not like this. You know, I've been fully engaged to the point, and we all know how we feel about intimacy, right? Right? But it's like fully embraced and fully intimate, not from a distance, not from a, you know, and it's in, you know, and I've heard, I love the anacronyms as well because it's into me see, right? Intimacy, into me see. So let us see you, let us hear you, let us feel you, and make sure, you know, because the thing is, like, here's the thing, it's like you might come out of this, if this is your first retreat or convention, you might come out of it and you might go, oh, and like last night, we're dancing, we're singing, and this morning, we're dancing again, right? And it was beautiful, so beautiful. And so, and then you go home, and then it's tonight, and it's like, I got to do laundry, I got to, you know, somebody's yelling at me for something, and I got this, I have phone calls to return, emails to return, nobody, and where are those OA people now? Right? I've done it, and I've eaten, okay? I did it, don't do it, because I did it for you, okay? I did it so I can tell you that you don't have to do that. You know, the phone does work. You know, pick up your phone. And also, it's like, what do we do? What do we do here when we call somebody and they're not there? And we call somebody else and they're not there? And we call somebody else and they're not there? And then we feel a big hole in our belly, this place and right in the middle. And then we go, ah, there's another choice. I just wanted to, because I've been there too. And I've also made the other choice, which is because I got your hole. I got your hole. I feel your hole. I have the same hole. And it's not that nobody loves you or me, and it's not that we're not here for you or me. It's just that now we have to actually take some responsibility, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning, my responsibility, right? I don't pick up that first bite. I wouldn't compulsively overeat tonight no matter what. I'm not going to do that tonight no matter what. And I have the integrity. You know, I'll pick up my really well-used book, as somebody pointed out, and I'll sit with myself and I'll ask God to fill that hole. I'll ask God to do for me what I can't do for myself. So that's what you do when none of us, because we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I tell people sometimes when one of my people that I sponsor, when they're like, you know, I emailed you, blah, 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 and I'm like, you know what? Sorry, right? Like, I mean, and I'm not saying like, oh, I get to be, but that's not my thing. Email's not my thing. I don't even want to tell you how many emails are in my inbox. You know, I do try to catch the days now, you know, but I'm not a perfect, like, I'm not perfect with this communication piece of this, you know, because I'm nobody special and I'm nobody different. I'm just a human being, as are all of you, right? So we will let, you're going to be let down in Overeaters Anonymous. Your feelings are going to get hurt in Overeaters Anonymous. And my challenge to you and my hope for you and my prayer for you is that you and God figure out how to, because we have to let each other be human here. You know, we talk so much about forgiveness, and somebody mentioned when we were in our step eight workshop the other day, or yesterday, it was just yesterday. That was the other day. It feels like it was so long ago. The word forgiveness, and this is just something I did the other day because I was a step eight meeting. The word forgive is in the eighth step 14 times that I counted. It means we have to be really forgiving of ourselves, and that's our, you know, made a list of all persons, and it's just a beautiful step eight's really beautiful around forgiveness. And you know, so forgive us when we're human, and that'll help you forgive yourself when you're human. And you know, and I think if we all recognize we're doing the best we can, so just be real careful. Be careful with yourself, and don't, you know, be careful with yourself when you go home, and keep this. You don't have to instantly, because the addict in us too will just instantly want to take away this good feeling, right? I don't want to feel this good anymore. I'm just going to eat this, right? Don't do that. Or do something else damaging to your body. You don't have to do that to get through the weekend. Like, you can be abstinent this evening, and you can wake up tomorrow morning and go wherever it is that you need to go in your world, or drive, because some of you drove for so far away, and that just, I can't tell you how much that inspires me, and how much I just love that. And you know, so go and do what you have to do, and be abstinent, and be free, and be healthy, because you can do that. I know that you can do that, and I will see you doing that, and you'll see me flying home and going into, and we get to hold each other in our hearts. And that, and I know that's a really hard thing to say, because for so long, and I did it to my sponsor. If I would call my sponsor didn't call me back, I would binge. That's what I did. Okay? And because I was like, I have to, you know, she rejected me, right? And then one time, I'll tell you what my sponsor said, and I was like, you didn't, and then one time, because I was so childlike, you know, because I hadn't been seen, and I hadn't been heard, and I said to her, you know, you were at the meeting, and you didn't speak to me, you know, and it was a big meeting, and she said so gently and so beautiful, when I go to a meeting, I go for myself. And see, and I could hear that. I could hear that. When I go to a meeting, I go for myself. And so I have to say to people sometimes, because I want to give, I would give you everything if I could, every single one of you. But see, I know now that I can't do that, right? And when I go to a meeting, so I've gotten to gently say, like Judy taught me gently that lesson, and I've gotten to gently speak it to other people. When I go to a meeting, I have to go, I've got to focus on my own physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. If I'm trying to people please, I can't be worried about everybody else. I get to focus on myself too. And my sponsor taught me that, and she taught me boundaries. And I think if we exercise those boundaries, and there's some other programs to help us with that stuff too, you know. And if we exercise those boundaries and we take care of ourselves, we teach each other that you can do that kindly and lovingly, not with big fist up or whatever, right? A boundary can be just so beautiful. You know, and then we get to teach each other how to do that in a beautiful, loving way, or what in the beginning of our book, what it says because I just love the introduction, I'm not gonna lie. We find the healing power of love. Like, everything we say and do, if we can just let love be our guide for that, then we get to gently teach each other how to, you know, how we tread here, and how to forgive each other here, and how to let each other be human. And I just think that's so important. So just be careful with yourself, that's all. I want to talk about this negative thinking thing. And it's in the book. Like, again, I say a lot of people want to give me credit for this whole abstain from negative thinking thing. It has nothing to do with me. I heard it at a meeting, I told you, 20 years ago. My friend Lee lives in New Mexico, I think, still lives. I haven't talked to her in ages. On page 43, and this is your 12 and 12, this is your OA 12 and 12, it says right in the middle, negative thinking like fear is a habit many of us had to let go of negative thinking, like fear, is a habit many of us have had to let go of as we have recovered. So I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about your own negative thinking. And again, like, as we leave here, because it'll creep right in there, and it's going to go, weekend is a big waste of time. What the hell was I doing with all those fucking people? Right? So I want you to think in here, and if I haven't already ruffled your feathers, so to speak, you may or may not hate me for this, and I want you to know that it's okay, because I will still love you, even if you hate me for what I'm about to tell you. Because the first time somebody told me this, I was like, Because what the girl Lee, who said she abstained from negative thinking when she took her candle for that 1 year after she had come back from a 60-pound relapse, she said, whenever I have a negative thought about myself or someone else, I replace it with three positive thoughts. And I was like, oh no, she didn't say that. Because once it's in your head, and now it's in your head. Because every time, and that means like my beautiful friend on the road who said she cured her road, you know, her road rage. It was like, and I did it first in the car. Because I was a big old smoker too, right? So when I stopped smoking in the car, I'm like, what the hell do people do in the car? What are you supposed to do in a car? Drive your car. Right? Compulsive people, like I want to do a lot of different things. And I learned too with these emotions, which you've been very well acquainted with my emotional life over the past 48 hours. If I'm crying in the car, I put on my seatbelt, because we're supposed to do that too, right? Never go, and I learned from somebody in OA, ironically enough, because after I'd gotten a couple speeding tickets, this beautiful woman in OA, and I told you about her too, the one I thought she was high all the time, she was just very spiritual, but the one who talked like this, she goes, I never go more than 5 miles over the speed limit, so I've never had a ticket. Like, okay. So anyway, so put the seatbelt on, no smoking, no drinking, no eating in the car, no activities for the compulsive person driving down the street who wants to do 8 different things in the car. I don't talk on my phone. I don't do anything. And I'm not saying, I don't want you guys to think, because I'm obviously not the most spiritual person you've ever met. I won't be running for that particular office. Who's the most spiritual person you've ever met? Rhonda. That's never going to happen, right? But I will tell you, because there's so many bicycles in Denver, and there's so many pedestrians, and so many people are living outside of the... Nobody thinks the rules apply to them for whatever reason these days. I don't know if it's like that up here. But nobody wants to play by the rules. And I just want some structure. I want some direction. I want some rules. And I want us all to play by them, please. Right? Well, that doesn't happen. So what I do in the car, instead of being... Like, I put my purse in the trunk. I don't talk on my phone anymore in the car. I got both hands on the wheel. I will maybe put on some music or whatever before I start, but I'm focused. And I'm focused for all the people who aren't focused. And I'm also focused for my own compulsive freaking head that's just going everywhere. I don't need to be distracted on the road. And see, that's part of my recovery for me. Two hands on the wheel. And then also, because I've had this, you know, in the past couple of months, a couple months ago, I was like, oh, wow, I'm crying from here to here. Oh, I don't cry and drive my car. I don't let my emotions enter into, you know, when I say stuff, I just want you to know that, like, whatever you've had to do for yourself, I would support wholeheartedly. I'm just saying that I was on a certain kind of medication that made me sort of lethargic. And I was like, and sure, I didn't care about anything, but I didn't care if I got fat. I didn't care about anything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to manage without that particular thing, but that means I have to really self-modulate, and that means I don't let those emotions get involved in the car. You know, and that's part of what I do, is really focus, because people are flying around all over the place on these bicycles in Denver, and it's the healthiest fucking place you'll ever go in your life, and it's just like, ugh, okay, and they're speeding through, you know, because nobody wants it. That's just something that, and everybody's got earphones on, and, you know, I had my dog one time bit this guy, and then dog bit the guy because I was screaming with this voice, which you've become well acquainted with over the weekend. It's not a slight voice. I was screaming at this guy, don't run towards my dog, you know, because he had passed me, had come up behind me, and Buster was on his little leash thing, and I was letting him, you know, go out a little bit because he was a little bit further away from me, and this guy comes running, he bumps into me. He's on the trail, and he had his ear thing on, and I was like, hey! And then so he's running between me and my dog, even though my dog was on the leash, and I'm screaming, don't run at that dog! He's going to jump on you, you know, because it was between me, and Buster's trying to protect me, and he's a little special needs beagle, and I'll, you know, he's a sweet little boy, but this guy ran at that dog, and then Buster, of course, just leapt onto the dog, and the guy was like, and he took his thing off, and he started to scream at me, and I said, I was yelling at you. To not go to, but see, everybody's unconscious, right? Everybody's in their own little, you know, they've got their own soundtrack. I had my girlfriend, Fia Francine Porter, went to New York City when I went to LA back in the 80s after high school. And Fia, we used to say, everybody has their own soundtrack in New York, right? Because she was real big into her earbuds. And I'm like, I don't want a soundtrack. I think I'll stay 2 ears open, because my deal is consciousness, right? Because our thing, food takes us out, drug, whatever we do to take us out. So I'm all about, I just want to be conscious, because that's part of my recovery, because my disease wants me to be unconscious. I think my disease would really love that soundtrack, like those earbuds, you know? But unfortunately for me, my credit card for isolation and depression has expired, so I now have to be fully engaged with you, and sometimes it's going to be with this look on my face. You know, we don't have to like it. And that's, I guess, that's another really strong message I'll give to you. You don't have to like it. I don't, a lot of the time. But then something, but then I sleep better and my heart feels fuller. You know, you don't have to like this. You know, and that's a real, because it doesn't feel good a lot of the time, but it sure as hell beats the alternative. You know, if you've done what, you know, and you're here at a Overeaters Anonymous convention, whoo, right? Our parents would be so proud. Look at us. Overeaters Anonymous. I just wish we would change the name. I don't know what I would want to call it, but it's like, God, really? We have to have that name? Alcoholic, it's just so cool. I want to be an alcoholic. Or drug addict. It's like, and I whispered really low to the lady, because I know when I'm going to break, because I can tell in my gut, because see, I have intuition. I never had intuition before. And P.S., and I don't know what I'm saying right now, but I'm going to not judge it, because I feel like, oh God, you're talking all over the place, but I'm going to let that go for a second. Okay, this little hole that I call intuition, see, I never felt it before, because if you always reach for something else, and you put it in your mouth, you don't get to feel this thing. And this thing that's down here, and I don't know where it is. I'd love to see, like, on an anatomy chart, like, what exactly it is that I'm pointing to. But when I don't fill it with food, I feel something. And I think it's intuition. And I think I get to intuitively know. So last night I was trying to figure out, do I book an earlier flight? Do I go, guy? And then I couldn't figure it. So I let it go. I let it go. If I'm going, should I do that? Should I get on the thing? Should I fly? I let it go. Because that's my compulsive head, and I don't feel any intuition, and I'm tired, and I wasn't hungry. I wasn't hungry last night. I wasn't angry. I wasn't lonely, for sure, you dancing fools. But I was tired. So I just, even if I have 1 out of 4, I'm like, I'm out. I don't know. I'm not going to have any intuition. And then this morning, boop, intuition. Wake up within. I learned how to listen to that, and that's got, you know, that's some sort of stream to something that, you know, if I don't fill it up with something that makes me feel bad, because see, sometimes it's not even the food. Sometimes it's like a something, like a some substance. And sure, it's in your abstinence, no problem. I can eat that, no problem. But then what happens? I eat it, and then I'm thinking about it all day long. That's just as bad for me. You know, so even if I'm, and it drives this guy that I'm seeing nuts, because it's like, if I think about a food, because so I'm going to tell you how I do this. If he asked me, and I'm, I don't think I've shared individually, but I don't think I've shared from the podium, that my boyfriend is a chef. Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? So, and I'm still the same weight. I'm still the same weight I was when I met him, which is a miracle from our Lord and Savior, if you will. But anyway, But John, if I'm thinking too hard about if he's like, what do you want for dinner? And I say, oh, I want this for dinner. And then I think about it for more than an hour. I'm like, whoa, man. I call back up. I go, you can't make me that. And he'll be like, but why could you just said you wanted the, but I'm like, I've thought about it for more than an hour. If I think about any particular food for more, I wouldn't eat it for nothing, because I know that I've got that mental thing going on. You know, and gather people in your world that are going to let that be, you know, that's okay with. Like, I know I said I wanted this, but I want this instead, because I've got this mental obsession. And, you know, and I think if we're not too crazy around it, people can respect that, because I really want people to respect that in my world. So I try to do it as nicely as possible. But it's like, you know what? Sometimes it's like, hey, yeah, sure, let's go for this kind of food. And then it's like, no, I think I need to go here. And just, you know, if we're, again, it's all in how we deliver that message. If you deliver that message with kindness and love, anybody's going to want to support you. We don't have to be like, I'm coming to your house, I'm bringing my stuff, and I don't want any, you know what I mean? We don't have to be, I don't want to be like that. If somebody invites me into their home, and I don't want to, you know, I want to be kind and loving, and also care for myself. So I think it's all in how we deliver that message. But where I was headed with this, because the thing that it's just made me, it's brought me to my knees more than once, and we hid, we procrastinated, we ate. I think that's in, it is in step one, and it is in step two? Step two, thank you. We hid, we procrastinated, we ate. I don't know where it is, but it's in there, and it's just like, damn, you know? And then we hid from our pain by eating, so we didn't learn from our own mistakes. We never grew up, and I think that's why we have such a hard time. That is in step one, page five, and I think that's why we have a hard time forgiving each other, because we get in touch with, like, okay, so I never grew up. Okay, so when I get my feelings hurt, I get really sad, and I cry. When I get hungry, I cry, okay? So I've got to take some responsibility for that and realize that my emotions are a little, maybe, immature. I hate that word. I hate to call myself that word. But I've got some kind of immature feelings that I don't want to put on to you, you know, which is why I don't like it. You know, and it so sure, like sometimes we think we have to write about it. So a lot of times when I want to say that I have to do like five different things about a problem or an issue, I've learned from this woman that I talked to in Denver. She's like, you don't need to do any, like, and I'll call her, because see, I want to sponsor myself, but I just call her for reinforcement, really, okay? I'm not kidding, because I'll call Kate up, and I'm like, here's what's wrong, and I need to do, blah, I need to write about it, I need to pray about it, blah, blah, and then she'll interrupt me, which wouldn't you, okay, please, and she'll go, please just don't do anything. You don't need to do anything. Oh. See, sometimes doing nothing. The best, and then so what I do, I'll tell you the cool thing with that for this compulsive overeater is when she says, do nothing, guess what I do? I stop it. Like, all right, I can get off that. And here's the deal. And here's the deal. If you can do that on your own and with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, 12 steps, 8 tools, 12, if you can do that here, awesome. Do it. If you're unable to do that, then get some more help. You know, get some more help. Like, again, I think that's a real clear and we make that really difficult too. It's like, okay, if I'm able to do that within the confines of the 12 steps and 8 tools, call my sponsor, make 3 other calls. If I'm able to do that with that help, that's awesome. And if not, get yourself some more help. Get as much help as you need, because I believe that we all have the same, because it can't be easy for me and hard for you or hard for you. I think we all have to give ourselves the same shot. And the same thing with weight loss. Like if it's coming for you, if it's, you know, I've talked to so many people about that over the weekend. They're like, you know, I get it too, because I don't talk about a food or a food. I get that. You know, but it's not, it doesn't mean that I don't really specifically, you know, you get older and you have to change how you, it changes. And you guys that are older than me know better than me that it changes, you know, and what worked for me 10 years ago doesn't work for me today. And that's when I went to, I think I did share that from the podium, that's when I went to Howe and got, you know, for a food plan. And you know, just go where you need to go to get the help that you need, and just know that there is a solution, right? Like there is a solution. Like I have to believe, and I don't believe for one second that I won't find my answers here. And that negative thinking thing, because here's the deal, here's the really scary part of that deal, is that if you believe that this won't work, because I've done it, if you believe that this doesn't work, and that we're all crazy and full of shit, whatever you want to say, and that there's no way it would work for you, it won't. Because something happens, something miraculous, and I wish I could 20 years later, with consistent meetings, consistent sponsorship, working with others, going to as many things as I can afford to go to, I can tell you, I wish I could explain that magic. I cannot. I cannot explain to you. It just gives me chills. I know that it gives me chills, so I know it's God. Right? I know that it's from God, because I go, whoa, it's magic. It's the magic of one compulsive overeater to another. It's the magic of looking into someone's eyes and going, I can't, can you help me? And we hold hands, you know, something happens when we humble ourselves and get with each other. And I'll never be able, I don't think 20 years from now, because I'll tell you one thing, I'll still be here for sure. Like, one day at a time, you know, and that's not living in the future or anything. It's just that the single most important thing to me, and maybe that, like I said earlier, like set your intention or whatever, the single most important thing to me when I wake up, because I do, I don't know how you wake up, but we're probably a lot alike. I don't know. You might be more spiritual than me. I'll give you that. But I wake up and it's just like, and especially if just like when I was flying here, Friday morning, it's like, oh God, what time is it? What? Because I wake up in some kind of frenzy. Okay? And it's like, whoa, okay, whoa. And then I have to set that intention. And that's either like somebody's on the way to the bat, whatever. I have to set that. What's my intention for today? I have an intention for today is to be abstinent and carry the message to another compulsive overeater. And that's whether I'm going to work. If I'm going to work, that's my message. If I'm going to the theater, that's my message. If I'm going anywhere else, if I'm going to any, because it's just like on that plane, like if I had stayed in my, you know, and I don't know, I hope that lady calls me because I don't think she realizes like what a gift she was to me on that plane, you know, because your compulsive leader here was just kind of like, oh, I gotta read all the books, gotta say all the right stuff. And it took me out, she took me out of the book and like, wait, we locked eyes. We did that thing that happens. We had the miracle that happens here. We locked eyes. And she's like, where are you going? And then I had that intuition to tell her where I was going. I whispered it because I still don't like our name. I'm going to Overeaters Anonymous convention in Bellingham. I told her though, even though it was in a whisper, and then her eyes welled up. That thing happened. That thing happened that happens here when you say, like, I can't do this. We locked eyes, and then her eyes welled up with tears. And then I took her hand. You know, she gave, and see, the thing is, if you haven't availed yourself to someone like that here, because I know the fear of that too. I know it's like, I'm going to sponsor somebody and they're going to take all my time and I got kids and I got a job. You know, it's not my experience at all, you know, because I'll do anything for 10 minutes with you. And then it has to have an end, right? It has to have a begin. Our pain has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The things that have hurt us, the things that have been done to us, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you can write about it as much as you want to write about it and cry, because I have. cry, but it has an end, whatever it is, right? There's no pain too great to be lessened here. Like, we have to believe that. Like, I have to hold your hands and look into your face and believe that. You know? And that's why I think because I just want to keep it going. Like, I want to keep the pain alive or keep the resentment alive, because I'm really great. I'm like, I just want to keep writing about it. Let's just 1, 2, 3 the hell out of that, right? I'm going to write about it, pray about it, and try to give it to God. But no, I want to keep it. I need to write about it. See, that's what I want to do. It's like, don't do that. Let it go. Just let it go, you know? And I think we're here to help each other know how to do that. All right. So I don't know what's on your heart or how you're feeling, but if you want to come here and say anything or ask anything or address the group, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Is that okay?
What's your phone number?
Oh, thank you. My digits, people. My phone number, thank you so much, is 720-837-3550. 720-837-3550. My email. 720 is my cell phone. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hell yeah. 3550. 720-837-3550. I think it's going to be funny. This will be funny on the tape. Email is Rhonda Lee Brown. RhondaLeeBrown@gmail.com @gmail. Rhonda Lee Brown @gmail.com. So come in, and I just feel, and if nobody wants to talk, that's cool, but, I can just, riff something up here too, but let's talk to me if you need to. I want to hear what's on your heart or anything. Are you coming up here with me? Okay.
My name's Tiffany. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been struggling a lot with the first step and with surrender and letting go of the delusion that I have any control. So I'm wondering how you did that or how you do that.
Say it one more time, letting go of?
Letting go of the idea that I have any control over, admitting that I'm powerless and surrendering.
Admitting, I got it. Say one more time. Admitting that she's powerless and surrendering.
Yeah, letting go of control, all of that, first step.
It's only the hardest thing in the world. It's only the hardest thing in the world to do. And I said, she and I were talking yesterday, and I'll tell you one thing. This is awesome when it's working, and it fucking sucks when it's not working. You know, when it's like you're doing everything, and it feels just like, I'm as right as rain, and then the minute that compulsion sits in, and the minute that thing steps in there, it's like a monster. And I guess how it's like that thing I told you, like this, like the close connection with someone else and calling my food into someone else, being accountable. And I still call my food in sometimes. If I'm in whatever kind of situation, I'll still call my food in, because I just need to keep sometimes at somebody in touch. Somebody needs to hear what I'm doing out loud and not from an email. And again, email's great. Like, I'm not criticizing how anybody else does it. I'm just saying that my voice needs to go out loud to somebody and say, like, I'm going to do this tonight and I'm not going to eat. I'm going to bed tonight and I'm not going to throw up. That's really important. And then the other thing is, I really let that powerlessness... If I realize, and I know this is dramatic, and a lot of people say, like, oh, you're in the theater, you're dramatic, but tell you what, if I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm compulsively overeating, I'm killing myself. If I'm a bulimic and I'm throwing up, I'm killing myself. If I'm an anorexic and I'm starving myself, I'm killing myself. And I didn't want to admit that truth or say that to anybody, but I was trying to help this gal out once years ago in Los Angeles, and this girl is throwing up, so many times. And I was talking to my sponsor. I said, what can I do? How can I help her? How can I help her? I want to help her so bad. And Judy goes, have you told her she's dying? No. Of course I haven't. She might not like me if I say that. But then Judy goes, no, call her. You need to tell her, right? And see, chills. God, we need to know that. So powerlessness, I think, helps a lot when you realize, like, I'm killing myself. I'm taking myself. You know, and it's even worse, like, because I'm not going to, sure, I haven't wanted to be here. It's important, that I've had that pain too, the pain of not wanting to be here. But I'll tell you what, and I almost work the steps out of default, because it's like the stupid way we do it is like a temporary suicide, because then even however much I binge, I have to wake up. That sucks too, right? When you're in that mode of, so I just like, okay, I'll do I don't want to take myself out on a daily basis, And the other thing that helps me out with that, and I told somebody this personally, but not from the podium, my father weighs 500 pounds, and that's not a lie or a joke. 500 pounds. And if I showed you a picture right now on Facebook of me and my dad with our faces up to each other, we're exactly the same. I got everything from my father. And see, that means all the good stuff too. His sense of humor, his charisma, everything that you love about me is all from my dad. Okay? But I also got that other thing from my dad. So that's a very sobering, that's my powerlessness too. My grandma had to be in a, 7 members of my immediate family weigh over 300 pounds on my dad's side. My grandmother died when she was 71 years old, and she weighed almost 400 pounds. They had to have a, and the, you know, they're real big into funerals. I won't even go down that road, but I'm just going to tell you, God. You know, and it had to be a big, and I stood by my father. You know, so that's kind of a sobering, you know, and I'll tell you just really quickly, or not really quickly, whatever, but my dad, because I used to, my father is so, he's so funny. He's so damn funny. And if you were sitting by you, he would just make you laugh. He's so funny. And I went home because I knew that I was about to bust a big move in my life. And I love hanging out with my pop. And so I just go and I and literally hanging out with my pop, you don't do anything. There's nothing to do because he can barely get around. And so we would sit and we would talk, and he can only sit in an upright bar, like the bar type stool. He can't sit in a chair like the ones you're sitting in, and bless you. And there's one car, he has a big old Suburban that he's can maneuver himself into, and he has cows and whatnot on this, and it's East Tennessee, it's farm. My dad lives on a farm, and we go to the feed store, and the way that I found out, because I go, and I wasn't going to bring up his weight, I wasn't going to say one fucking word about it, and then we go to the feed store, and I'm like, because I know that's the only place my father can weigh, because he's told me that before, and I go, how much do you weigh? And he goes, 350, 400. I'm like, okay. I said, let's just see. And again, no shame, no judgment. I don't shame and judge him either. My dad's smart. My dad knows what's available to him, you know? And people love him in this town too. So I'm not going to try to tell my dad what to do. That's not my job. But I'm like, let's just see. And then he gets on the feed, the cattle scale, because that's the only one he can weigh on. And he's like, well, goddamn. I'm like, yep, okay. So maybe let's go, and then we get in the car, and there's always these silences, which I never know what to do with, because like, God, what do you say, right? What do you say? And then I wait for that, like instead of trying to start, like I wait, right? Wait for that thing that might tell me what to say. And then I go, you know what, Dad? I go, maybe we should just go to your doctor. Like, you don't have to do anything, but let's just get you one of those handicap things so that you can at least park closer. Because he was leaning on cars and stuff as he was, you know, and I said, let's go get you one of those things. And so we did that, you know. And I don't know if that gives you any answer, but it's like, it, when you look at somebody's face that has so much life and so much vitality, and his eyes are just dancing, like he's just a beautiful, beautiful man who's literally just waiting to die. Like, he's like, I've had a good life, and he tried to give me this money, and I'm like, you know what, you're so full of it. I go, you think you're going somewhere, but I couldn't, like I said, P.S., I don't think you are. You might want to do something about this, you know. And he'll joke. He thinks it's funny that his doctor says he's in good health, except that he needs to lose 300 pounds. Like, my dad says that like it's a joke, you know. And I'm like, it's so not funny, you know. So that, like, getting in touch with that is what. And I don't know it. And this helped me too. And then I'll move on to something else. But this helped me a lot too. Even though I couldn't find that care for myself, right? Like, I couldn't find, like, it wasn't enough to me. Like, I didn't care if I was abstinent. I didn't care in the beginning. I didn't care. Like, who cares about me? I didn't care about me. So how could you care about me? You know, because I just had so little care for myself. But see, I found people here when they say, I'll love you till you can love yourself. Like, get with those people and let them love you. Because they will love you until you can love yourself. I will love you until you can love yourself. And that sometimes if we can do it for somebody else, and I think that's why we have to. Otherwise it's like, okay, come here. Here's all your books. Good luck, right? And then you go off. That's not how this works, and that's how so many of us try to do it. We all try to do it by ourselves, and that's not. Otherwise, it would be like, here's your books. I wish you the best. You know, it's not. It works. It's snotty. It's teary. It's messy. It's all the things we don't like. You know, but let somebody love you, and it eventually, because I got it, I don't know when I got it, but I got that, like, oh, wow, all of a sudden, because I knew you cared a whole lot, and my people that, I knew there were people like, oh, somebody cares about whether or not I go to sleep abstinent tonight, and then one day, somewhere along the line, 3 to 4 years in, I started caring for myself, And I was like, oh, wow. I actually care now. It took a long time, though. But there were a lot of laughter. I mean, I found people that made me laugh. Like, at least we're not, like, you know, you could do worse, I guess, you know. You know, it's not a bad place to, you know, you could really do worse, like, of all the, so it's, and maybe just try to stay out of default. Like, if you can't see the powerlessness, if you can't feel it, then that's okay, because maybe, and that's, I know it's the fucking longest answer ever, but maybe you don't have to feel it. Maybe you can be right where you're at and just let us love you anyway, you know? Instead of trying to pull you one way or the other, just because we just have to be where we're at. And that's where you're at. And I love you. Yeah. Does anybody else want to say anything? Come on up, Baba. Yes, I fell in love with this girl this weekend. I just fell in love with Adina. Oh my God. I fell in love with you. Look at those britches. Look at these britches she's got on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything I say, I'm like, I'm a wreck. She's like, I love you so much. It's great. Here's my question. It's about, you know, last night you read that part of the doctor's opinion where it says that our man must be separated. We would recommend hospitalization. And I know in the first step of the AA, it says these 12 steps are things that no alcoholic who's still drinking would even dream of doing, for example. I'm just wondering if you could share experience, strength, and hope on when people are getting started in Overeaters Anonymous. A lot of times we don't really know yet. We're experimenting with how to eat. We're stepping over to the nearest, you know, bakery and trying some controlled eating of whatever those foods are, and then they backfire. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff to adjust our food plan. And I'm not talking about people who aren't done yet. I'm not talking about people who are like, oh, you know, I just had such a hard day at work, so I had to binge. I'm talking about people who are, you know, we're in that, you know what I'm talking about. So at what point as a sponsor do you start taking somebody actually through the steps and specifically starting to write inventory? How clear of a head do you feel like somebody has to have to start going through the steps? Because I've heard experiences of certain people who say, you know, you come to my house every week, you sit on my couch, and I don't care if you, this is quoting someone who's actually in the room, I don't care if you threw up in the bushes on your way into my house, if you're like, you put your butt on that couch and we read the big book together, right? And then there's other people I know who say you've got to have 30 days before we really start reading the book, which is how I was sponsored. And I don't know. I don't know if there even is a definitive answer to that question. But if you have any insights about sort of the different variations of that, I would love to hear about that.
I know it's funny because after the weekend, you would think that, like, oh, I want to call her because she's so kind and loving and whatever. But see, a lot of people call me and never call me again. You know? And I'll tell you why, because I do have a definitive answer to that question. I don't say, like, you have to do this or I won't do that, or I don't say any of that. But before I ever get to an inventory, because I say what Judy said to me at 260 pounds. What do you want? How are you powerless over it? When we did the first step, she goes, do you want to lose weight? And I was like, I didn't think that's what we were supposed to talk about here. And I was like, well, yeah, I want to lose. How much weight do you want to lose? What are you willing to do? So it's just step one that usually sends people running for the hills with me because they don't like how I talk about it. But see, that's what can't give away what you don't have. That's how I was, so it's, and great, it's all kind and loving, and nobody fired me, and right? But see, it was harsh. Step one is harsh. And again, if you tell me you want a weight-losing abstinence, and then you call your food into me, and it's like a day at Six Flags. I mean, you know, like I'm not a mean sponsor, but I'm also, if I'm in tune with my higher power and if I'm abstinent and you've employed me, which that's what I look at this as. I look at this as a contract. You have employed me, even though this pays for shit, okay? You've still hired me, and I still take that job very seriously of helping you get what you want in your world. That's what this is. And so when I say, like, hey, how about that, you know, because I'm not going to judge your food. I'm going to take you back to what you told me you wanted. It's not Rhonda judging it. It's me taking Adina back to what Adina told me she wanted. And if Adina is if we're committed to a weight-losing abstinence and we're committed to the first step of Overeaters Anonymous and you call that food into me, I'm not doing my job and I'm not helping you and I'm not, and this is Chills too, so this is God. I'm not serving God or the program by telling you it's okay. I'm not. So I don't. Do I tell you to start over? No, because that's not part of my thing. Do I tell you you're bad or wrong or shameful or horrible? No. But do I point it out so that we can both take it out and look at it? Absolutely. Or else what the fuck are we doing, people? What are we doing? There's group therapy out there. There's a place you can go and talk about your problems and they'll hug you. And a lot of people think that that's the program. That is not the program for me. So again, when people hear this tone in my voice that I have right now, because I am passionate about it, that's how I lost 100 pounds, is I sat with my sponsor and I was like, she's like, how much oatmeal do you eat? And I'm like, this many packets. And she's like, I think that's too many. And I'm like, well, one's not enough packet. So do you know what we did? She's lost 200 pounds. This woman who helped me with my food, her name's Gail. She lives in LA. She's still in the program. We made oatmeal together. We got together on a Saturday afternoon and we put one thing in a bowl and I'm like, that's not enough. We put three in a bowl and I said, that looks like a little too many. So guess what? Two packets of oatmeal is my thing. And then we looked at potatoes and I'm like, that potato's too little. This potato's too big. We decided what size potatoes, my potato. Do you know what I mean? That's what we did. We played with food all afternoon because I was so confused about how much of that and can you eat that? And she was like, well, I've lost 200 pounds and I don't think I could eat that potato. And I think maybe you should eat this. So we played with it and we decided what food, like this is a good weight loss. Because see, we didn't have all the, there was not a lot of things, there's way more stuff available to you. And I think that might even be more confusing. So maybe I think all the other solutions and everything else that you can do. So maybe get together with somebody who's had some weight loss in this program and make some food and look at food. This is a portion. This is not a portion, you know, and maybe that, whatever, but do it with somebody here. Cause that's what helped. That's what saved me. And that's how I lost 100 pounds. So anyway, so after that, I don't know if that answers the question, but most people, I'm going to go with a 70% in my 20 years of working the program and sponsoring people from the second year of this abstinence. So 18 years. And I'm, you know, three or four people, I don't go crazy with it. Cause I used to try to do all that all the time too, but I'm going to give you a 70%, and I really do. I don't think I'm a great, but based on my percentage, I don't think I'm a great sponsor. So that's why I'm working on my sponsorship, because people don't stick around. And then, but I know from the first step, like if you don't make it through the first step with me, it's because you don't really want to do this. And see, I don't mean that ugly. It's just the truth. Like we have to figure out how to say the truth and how to not be ugly to each other. You know, because a lot of people just want to be, you know, padded and stuff. And I can't. That's not what I want to help somebody from killing themselves with food. You know, that's really what I want to do. So if it's the other, if it's a lesser degree than that, I don't even get them to the fourth step. But if, have I had the experience of somebody, you know, and I usually do stop because I'm going to be done in 1 second. If we get to that point and we're doing an inventory and all of a sudden there's some out of control eating, I stop. Adina and I go back, like, let's go back to one. Let's call your food in. Let's get that straight, because I do believe, we need that clarity, and I also believe that if we're dealing with this emotionally, right, if we're doing this from inside out, it means that whatever I'm writing about is too much for me because it made me reach for something I don't want, so I back up. Pause when agitated, back up, this is too much. because it's making me want to eat. And then that's usually a good barometer too. Like if something's making somebody want to eat, then it's like, let's back this up a little bit. Maybe we should look at this. Maybe you should look at that with somebody else. Maybe we need to get some more care around this, because if it's making you, if this is making you go to the food, then let's go back. So I do go back a little bit, because I don't want to say it's a waste of time. I do think it's part of the process. It was part of my process, because I would eat and then not, like, that means, because I wouldn't slow down when somebody told me to slow down and not go like, this is too intense, this is too painful. So let's back up. Let's go back to basics. Let's hit our first things first, right? Whatever it is for you, 3 meals a day, abstain, whatever that is for you, get it back together before we start trying to do this other stuff. Does that help? Okay. Come on up. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, one more. Come on up here and sit with me. Come on. No, that's cool. So that's awesome.
Hello, I'm Molly. I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Hi.
As a sponsor, well, you know, I know we're only given what we can handle. And so my higher power must have looked at me and said, this is a wimp, because I had a truly relatively blessed childhood in a minor a dysfunctional family. The most abuse I've ever suffered in my life has been the abuse of my own self-talk. But as a sponsor, I've encountered horrific stories that it's even hard for me to hear. And I do understand about encouraging people to seek additional help, but how do you handle something that is so much more terrible than you've ever experienced? How do you address that? Thank you.
I swear to you, every question is like, I don't know. But with love and compassion and understanding, and by praying with the person about it, you know, and then I think it's also really important to remember that I'm not the vessel that has to hold that for them. You know, we can hold our hands and we can give that to God. And I think that's the way, because I used to hold everything, and I feel like I've had 9 lives in terms of careers and stuff, because in Los Angeles at the end, when I couldn't wait tables anymore because I couldn't deal with food. I needed a healthy relationship with food. So I was a massage therapist, a very successful massage therapist. But I used to hold everybody's stuff. I'd be like, at the end of my day, I'd be like, because I held everybody's stuff. And then I learned how to, that I'm just a vessel. And I need to be able to have something in place for me to be able to transcend that. And either we hold hands and give it to God together, or I'm able to release myself of that. Because it's usually the ego, the ego for me gets in there, and that's when I think I have to control it and fix it and do something for it. That's usually the piece of the pain. When I can tell somebody, like, I'm so sorry, like, and I always thought, here's the thing too, here's a great word that I hate. I hated this word because I thought it was so mean. How can people talk about a word detachment and realize that, because I heard that detachment with love, right? It's a phrase that's thrown around here occasionally. And I'd be like, detachment? That is the rudest thing ever. How can I detach from you? How am I supposed to love you and help you and be with you if I detach? Now I know what that means. I learned it when my mother was dying. Detachment with love means I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm here for you, but I also have to be a separate person. So I think that's real, that, and work around that. I had to work really hard on that, and I can tell how compassionate and loving you are too, and how your heart is just, you know, big for everybody, and we have to learn how to protect that heart. You know, and your higher power, your sponsor, protect your heart, protect yourself, and that'll give us, and like when I can stay separate from you, I actually learned detaching from you with love means I can love you even better, because I can still give you my strength, because I'm not wrapped up in whatever it is that's happening with you. Does that make sense? That's the best way I can describe it. Who wanted to come up next? Come on, y'all come on up here, and then I think that's about it. We'll do 1, 2, 3. Let's do 1, 2, 3, and then we'll close. Is that good? Is everybody good with that? Are we happy? Good? Okay. Let's go 1, 2, 3.
Or 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Hi, I'm Nancy. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. And I'm up here to express gratitude for the things that Rhonda has said. This is what I,
you know, but it that means, because I wouldn't slow down when somebody told me to slow down and not go like, this is too intense, this is too painful, so let's back up, let's go to back to basics, let's hit our first things first, right? Whatever it is for you, 3 meals a day, abstain, whatever that is for you, get it back together before we start trying to do this other stuff. Does that help? Okay. Come on up. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, one more. Come on up here and sit with me. Come on. No, that's cool. So that's awesome.
Hello, I'm Molly. I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Hi.
As a sponsor, well, you know, I know we're only given what we can handle. And so my higher power must have looked at me and said, this is a wimp, because I had a truly relatively blessed childhood in a minor dysfunctional family. The most abuse I've ever suffered in my life has been the abuse of my own self-talk. Mm-hmm. But as a sponsor, I've encountered horrific stories mm-hmm. that it's even hard for me to hear. Mm-hmm. And I do understand about encouraging people to seek additional help, but how do you handle something that is so much more terrible than you've ever experienced? How do you address that? Mm. Thank you.
I swear to you, every question is like, I don't know. But with love and compassion and understanding, and by praying with the person about it, you know, and then I think it's also really important to remember that I'm not the vessel that has to hold that for them. You know, we can hold our hands and we can give that to God. And I think that's the way, because I used to hold everything, and I feel like I've had 9 lives in terms of careers and stuff, because in Los Angeles at the end, when I couldn't wait tables anymore because I couldn't deal with food. I needed a healthy relationship with food, so I was a massage therapist, a very successful massage therapist. But I used to hold everybody's stuff. I'd be like, at the end of my day, I'd be like, because I held everybody's stuff. And then I learned how to, that this is just, that I'm just a vessel, and I need to be able to have something in place for me to be able to transcend that. And either we hold hands and give it to God together, or I'm able to release myself of that. Because it's usually the ego, the ego for me gets in there, and that's when I think I have to control it and fix it and do something for it. That's usually the piece of the pain. When I can tell somebody, like, I'm so sorry, like, and I always thought, here's the thing too, here's a great word that I hate. I hated this word because I thought it was so mean. How can people talk about a word detachment and realize that, because I heard that detachment with love, right? It's a phrase that's thrown around here occasionally. And I'd be like, detachment? That is the rudest thing ever. How can I detach from you? How am I supposed to love you and help you and be with you if I detach? Now I know what that means. I learned it when my mother was dying. Detachment with love means I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm here for you, but I also have to be a separate person. So I think that's real, that, and work around that. I had to work really hard on that, and I can tell how compassionate and loving you are too, and how your heart is just, you know, big for everybody, and we have to learn how to protect that heart. You know, and your higher power, your sponsor, protect your heart, protect yourself, and that'll give us. And like when I can stay separate from you, I actually learned detaching from you with love means I can love you even better, because I can still give you my strength, because I'm not wrapped up in whatever it is that's happening with you. Does that make sense? That's the best way I can describe it. Who wanted to come up next? Come on, y'all come on up here, and then we'll, I think that's about it. We'll do 1, 2, 3. Let's do 1, 2, 3, and then we'll close. Is that good? Is everybody good with that? Are we happy? Good? Okay.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Hi, I'm Nancy. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. And I'm up here to express gratitude for the things that Rhonda has said. This is what
I did last night. I'll tell you, because it is weird when you've had a bigger, it's weird. And a lot of us have, I know a lot of you have gained weight and lost weight and then gained it back. And I have two or three times. And what I have to do physically, and I did it last night, it's like I had that dress on and then all of a sudden I felt really vulnerable and really cold and really, I had to go put on jeans and a sweatshirt. Because I needed another layer. So when I need another layer today, I put on another layer of clothes. It's so interesting, right? Not another layer of, but another layer of clothes, because I feel vulnerable and I feel exposed. And then I work with as many, because I don't get caught in, if I do that thing of like, girl, you've lost it. Keep those clothes, keep those other size clothes, because you've lost them. You're going to need them again. I don't entertain that fear. That's worse than entertaining a food thought for me. That's just like a, because then I will, if I'm scared, if I'm afraid I'm going to gain it back, I'm going to gain it back. So I don't even let that fear go up in my brain. I just work with other people and keep doing the next right thing. And then something that helps me a lot is the G-O-D, good orderly direction. Because sometimes higher power God seems so elusive to me. I just do the next right thing. Good orderly direction. And it's also good to have people who tell you that stop thinking about your weight. The world is so much bigger than my food plan and my weight and it's so much bigger than me. You know, so that's how I do it, working with others and staying out of my head. Did we have anything else? Anybody else? Did you have to share on your heart? Anybody? Nope. Are we good? Okay, I'm going to read you one thing and then we're going to go. This is kind of an answer to your question too. It's a challenge that I take really seriously. And it's, again, my intention for every day of every day that I live, this is my intention. Those of us who live this program don't just simply carry the message. We are the message. We are the message. So be the message. That'll get you out of your head and your food plan and the toilet bowl. Okay? Be the message. Each day we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery, which attracts others who want what we found in OA. We are happy to share our secret. Most of the time, maybe, happy to share. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, which empower us to live well and be well one day at a time. Live well, be well. I love you. I love you. Thank you.
Don't you go away.